Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Okay, so we will start with the chapter 4, and before we do, then is there anything, any questions on the previous chapter? The eligibility of the candidate for accepting devotional service. We went through the three classes of devotees, then we defined each of them. The neophyte, Madhyama, and Uttama. Yeah. Then there is the, out of the people who are eligible, who wants to accept devotional service, so there are four kinds of people, and out of those, one is particularly dear to Krishna. So we discuss is the wise person who is very dear, because he does not have attachment for material benefits. So he will be very easily able to be attracted to the Lord. Then we defined also when it is not possible to perform devotional service. So that's not possible when the material attachments are keeping you away from devotional service. So then we have to at the same time follow the process of now developing, process of elevating ourselves, which is now, of the nine processes of devotional service, the best is chanting of the holy name. But at the same time, then we should get detached from the material facilities, material world. So we should not try to enjoy the material facilities. Okay, then what's the bhakti and mukti? And then who enjoys real happiness? So that's in nutshell then the third chapter. Now, anybody has any questions? Yes.
The three kinds of the Madhya, the Uttama.
Okay. You see, if we say it by association, so then it's one who, when you have Kanishta Adhikari, so then he sees himself and he sees the Lord. He may see his guru, but that's about it. So he considers these are the important elements. Myself and the Lord and maybe guru. And even that, Guru is important because I'm important. So that's no Kaneshtadikari. Now everybody else, now they may have some importance, but it's not as important. It's not necessary. So just he is seeing only very narrow picture. As he progresses, then he sees that he does devotional service, and so do everybody else. So my devotional service is important, but so is everybody else's. So he sees that he is not alone. Then he can take up the service to the Vaishnavas, because he can directly perform devotional service, but this is very difficult. In fact, this is already taken. Srimati Radharani performs direct service. Everybody else facilitates her. Even the gopis, the manjaris. So we can only perform service through the devotees of the devotees of the devotees of the devotees of Srimati Radharani. So the Madhyama Adhikari understands that. So then he does not commit any Vaishnava parat. He understands that by performing service to the Vaishnavas, Krishna gets pleased. So he performs service by doing service to the Vaishnavas. Then, so he discriminates. He sees who is a devotee, who is not a devotee. So he takes association of the elevated devotees, and then he may give association to those who seek his association, who need it, and he will avoid association of non-devotees. Now, as he progresses farther and to the Uttama platform, then again he doesn't see any difference. He doesn't consider anybody less important. And at the Kanishta level, he doesn't consider anybody not too important, but on Uttama, he doesn't consider anybody less important, because everybody is a spirit soul. And because of the covering of the ignorance, then it's a temporary covering, and it will get removed in time. So everybody is a potential devotee of the Lord, and he sees that. So he respects that, so therefore he cannot discriminate. So he has a full, he understands that everybody is the potential devotee, and therefore he gives full respect to everybody no matter what. Such a devotee then has difficulty, say, to preach, because he doesn't know whom to preach what. Everybody is a pure devotee in his eyes. It's explained in Bhagavatam. I think it's also explained in Bhagavad Gita. Yeah, I don't know right now the
I found some verse number. In Bhagavatam 11 and 2:46 and 47. Mm-hmm. It's like that's like references to
maybe then continue. No, look for it, because it's there. I remember reading it, but I just don't know now where.
Somebody said it might be Harinam Shinsama. No, Pachana Rahasya.
Pachana Rahasya.
I don't have that book, so. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Hare Krishna. Okay. So then everything is clear. The essays for their chapter also were clear. Okay, so then we will move to the chapter 4, which is devotional service surpasses all liberation. So how important is liberation for a devotee? Maharaj Prithu described, "My dear Lord, if after taking liberation, I have no chance of hearing the glories of your lordship, glory is chanted by pure devotees from the core of their hearts in praise of your lotus feet. And if I have no chance for this honey of transcendental bliss, then I shall never ask for liberation or this so-called spiritual emancipation. I shall simply always pray unto your lordship that you may give me millions of tongues and millions of ears so that I can constantly chant and hear of your transcendental glories. Yes. On the fourth chapter. Yeah, just make a copy.
I have a copy here. Sorry.
You have an extra copy?
Yeah.
Yeah, and then just go to my room. So, here, this is the Maharaj Prithu basically praying to the Lord, and he describes the feeling of a devotee. So, for a devotee, and there are many evidences in the scriptures how devotees actually pray for devotional service. For them, it is not really important to be away from the material suffering. For them, the most important is to be with Krishna, be able to serve the Lord. So, not like the Mayavadis, or even the Brahmanandis. For them, the important element of liberation is to get away from the material suffering. But for the devotee, he doesn't really consider the situation in the material world is as a great obstacle, as long as he is engaged in devotional service. Are the Goswamis, they pray that they can even take a bird as even like a worm in the stool, as long as they have the opportunity to perform devotional service. And they don't want any place, be it heavenly planets or even higher, if they don't have the opportunity to remember the Lord. So it's as long as we have the desire to enjoy ourselves independently from the Lord, so we will have difficulty then to actually perform devotional service. The devotional service is a state of mind that we perform. As in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says it's you either fully surrender or you perform all your activities fully remembering Krishna. And if you cannot do that, then offer the results of your activities to the Lord. But anything else, it's actually not a devotional service. It may be pious activity. But why do we perform pious activities? For ourselves, our own benefit. Therefore, it will keep us away from Krishna. In fact, even performing the activities not because of our conditioning and offering the results to the Lord, it's the never forgetting the Lord, but still this aspect, it's not a pure devotional service. So, even though it is considered as a devotional service, but by the definition as it is, then it is not very safe position. One utilizes his own nature, his own conditioning in Krishna's service. And if he is progressing, if he is utilizing it well, then he will get more attraction, more affection for the Lord, and then he will come to the state of always remembering Krishna. The problem comes if he is not progressing fast enough, if he is not determined enough, then he may actually forget the goal of what he is doing. He may get very satisfied and he may stop offering the results to the Lord, and therefore he may fall down. So it is the best to always endeavor that we constantly keep asking the devotees, our Guru and Krishna, so we can perform devotional service. And again, the safest way how we can do it, it's in the association of the devotees. So Sadhu Sangha, seeing that the devotees are happy, they are pleased, they are satisfied by our behavior, by what we can offer. And that doesn't mean that we say what they expect, or we do what they expect. We should do what is right. Not politically correct, but it's right based on Guru Sadhu Shastra. So if somebody does something wrong, we can correct the devotee based on that we actually care for the devotee, and that way then we develop relationships. Yes.
So what if we doing that still end up in a position where the devotee that we're trying to help feel offended, maybe because he thinks we transgressed the etiquette or something?
Well, you see, it can happen. Like we were describing the story of Rupa Goswami. No, he didn't offend anybody, but somebody else felt offended. So it was completely, how do you call it, for instance? Not unfair. It just happened by accident, accidental, right? Or incidental. Maybe, okay. So, but he immediately understood, and he didn't start to jump up and down and, hey, Krishna, what are you doing? No, I didn't do anything to you. No, I didn't do anything to anybody. So, now, why did you not deal with me like this? He didn't do that. He took the humble position. Okay, I did, even unwillingly. But I did offend somebody. Otherwise, it wouldn't happen to me. So, he takes the endeavor to find out who it was. He takes the endeavor, and to please the devotee, he begs forgiveness from the devotee, even though he didn't do anything. That's Vaishnava. Because, you see, generally, in the material world, then people are really much into justice. But what is justice? Justice is not dharma. Justice is based on senses. So at the best, it's a pranamoy platform. Pranamoy means sense gratification, but extended sense gratification. That I deal such a way so you don't get offended. So you don't get agitated. Mind doesn't get agitated. Senses don't get agitated. But not necessarily based on dharma, because dharma, it's higher than that. So I deal with you politically correctly, so then everything works nice. So that's lower platform. So doing that, it won't take us very far. So people who are into justice, who want to be just, those are generally not very happy. So it's, in general, you can either be just or be happy. So Rupa Goswami, he didn't go for being just. This is unjust. I didn't do anything. I'm being punished. No, he just take the opportunity, actually, that he has the opportunity to serve the Vaishnava. So Vaishnava looks for any opportunity to turn into opportunity to serve. So if we can do that, then we are above dualities. But if we don't, then we will constantly keep looking for why it's happening to me, why me? I didn't do anything. So as long as we have this mentality, then it will be difficult for us to progress fast. See, actually, now, following the four regulative principles, it's all based on, there is one base anartha. And the anartha is we are very much hungry after power, influence, and because of that, then that four, we follow the four regulative principles to eliminate that or to minimize that. Because to influence somebody to take power over, that's what it is. Illicit sex, gambling, meat eating, intoxication. You can all get it down to the base anartha. So even if you follow the four regulative principles, you may not be free of the anartha to still want have power over somebody, have influence over somebody. But this is the base of the false ego. So unless we remove that, then we will not be able to understand our true identity. So that's what we have to work on. The four regulative principles, following them, it helps us to come close to it. But, yeah?
So does that mean if we are genuinely trying to help a devotee by explaining some part of the philosophy to them and they feel offended, that means that actually Krishna is showing us that we have that tendency to lord over other people?
Could be. First of all, we have to know ourselves, what is our motivation. Do we want to show the devotee that we are better than him? If we show that, and then he's not taking, oh, look at him, he's such a low class, I'm telling him, so nice instruction, he's not taking it. So then maybe nobody else will understand. Maybe only you and Krishna. But that's enough. That's why, see, in devotional service, one has to be very honest to oneself. We can make a show for everybody else, but not for Krishna. So what's the motivation? Do I want to show the devotee that I'm better than him? Or do I want to tell him how he can improve? If I do care for the devotee and I want to show him how to improve, then I will take very much interest to know how to tell him. Maybe he's very shy. He does something wrong. And so I don't have to go and scream at him, hey, you nonsense, what are you doing? So then everybody sees and hears that he's doing something wrong. I can just come to him and then, Prabhu, maybe you shouldn't do it this way. Because actually it's not the proper way. If you do it no other way, then you will get much better results. Nobody hurt, only him. So then we don't get the glory. Maybe he will appreciate, maybe not. Nobody will know that we noticed. But the devotee may be very grateful because he sees how we deal with him and he will appreciate that. If not, then there is no way how we can get through, then we should just stay away. We tried. But still, we shouldn't have bad feelings toward the devotee. Maybe he has bad feelings towards us and that's why he's not taking. Okay, Prabhu, sorry. No, I just wanted to say that. And I have no attachment if you are going to do it or not. But maybe for your consideration, then not think about it. Maybe it will be better for you. So from that point of view, we are not trying to no, overpower the devotee or just no, show him that we are better. And he will understand it. So he will take it completely differently than if we do it the other way. So the mood, how we explain things, the angle. And if one doesn't take one angle, if we really want to explain that, if it's necessary, then we go through another angle or another. And then we have to be, you know, very sensitive to understand the situation, how, which angle should we take. Now, like we were saying, if somebody is standing on the road and the car is coming, so you don't have to, please, probably you should consider, looking, to the side before you go, because there is car approaching and it's going to smash you in half second. So that will not be the right approach. But if there is no danger of life or any danger imminent, then you take the approach very sensitively. Because then that's very much appreciated. So, and even if the devotee does not have that much intelligence or no sense to appreciate your help, Krishna will. So there is no loss in trying in the right mood to help those who are in need. But we have to use our intelligence, based on Guru Sadhu Shastra, not just sentiment. So we have to make the person understand that what he is doing is wrong and give him also a solution how to do it right. Because also just saying, hey, you are wrong, and you don't give explanation, you don't give solution, that's nonsense. That's just criticizing. No, you don't know yourself how to do it, and you have the guts just to say that you don't do it right. Based on what? So you have to explain. If you want to say something, you want to correct somebody, you have to know how to. And as we said, just knowledge or just quoting Shastra, it's not sufficient. You have to have realization. So that's very important. Then such a devotee, when he preaches, when he says things, then it has power. Because he can influence the people, he can influence the devotees. And then they take it because they understand that he is their well-wisher. Then they will be very happy to actually be corrected by such a person. Now Srila Prabhupada, he many times scream at his disciples. He chastises them. But they don't feel really offended or anything. They feel that, I did something wrong. So I'm very, very grateful to my spiritual master that he tells me where I did the mistake so I can correct it. Otherwise, if we don't do that, then who is going to correct us? If we don't have anybody who cares for us, then we may do so many kinds of nonsense, and nobody will tell us that we are doing nonsense. So then how are we going to progress if we don't have somebody as a reference who tells us that we are not following the Guru Sadhu Shastra, we are just following our own minds? So that's extremely important. So to have somebody like that, that's a blessing. Yeah. Any other question? Didn't you have? So here, just basically, also, no, Maharaj Prithvi is asking, so you can use as many senses, as many possible, no, as much absorb in Krishna consciousness. So it's hearing, speaking, thinking. So anything which is possible, then he wants to be absorbed, so then he makes sure that he can be engaged in the devotional service. So that's the most important for a devotee. And then in that case, they don't really care for the liberation. What is the problem with the process of the impersonalists? The impersonalists desire to merge into the existence of the Supreme, but without keeping their individuality, they have no chance of hearing and chanting the glories of the Supreme Lord. Because they have no idea of the transcendental form of the Supreme Lord, there is no chance of their chanting and hearing of his transcendental activities. In other words, unless one is already beyond liberation, one cannot relish the transcendental glories of the Lord, nor can one understand the transcendental form of the Lord. So, here it's the impersonalist which actually they don't have, or they don't mind losing their individuality. They prefer to merge into Brahman, which it's an aspect of the Lord, but this aspect of the Lord pervades everything, but it has no qualities. The jiva has qualities. So it is not natural for the jiva to merge into Brahman. But the impersonalists nonetheless still think that this is way of liberation. So they do go for that, but because of that, they don't have any chance of chanting and hearing the Lord's name. Because the chanting and hearing, it's an activity, it's a quality. So they don't have actually any opportunity to perform devotional service. So they will be freed from the material anxiety, and maybe for very, very long time. But as soon as they start to desire something, then they cannot remain in the Brahman, and they will still fall back to the material world. Because they don't have attachment for the Lord, because the attachment comes only through devotional service. So they may be liberated from the material platform, but because they don't have the attachment for the Lord, they will not be able to enter the spiritual world. So they are standing like at the doorstep. There is nothing to pull them, but they don't know where to go. So as soon as they start thinking where to go, they only know the way back. They don't know the way forward. So then they will end up here again. So that's why both aspects must be there. Detachment from the material object, but attachment to Krishna, both together, guarantees that we can enter the spiritual world. Detachment without attachment will not give the guarantee. Cannot. Any question to that? Okay, what is the attraction of completely liberated personalities? In Srimad Bhagavatam, 1st Canto, 7th chapter, verse 10, this is called the Atmarama verse. In this Atmarama verse, it is stated that even those who are completely liberated from material contamination are attracted by the transcendental qualities of Lord Krishna.
The purport of this verse is that a liberated soul has absolutely no desire at all for material enjoyment. He is wholly freed from all kinds of material desires, yet still he is irresistibly attracted by the desire to hear and understand the pastimes of the Lord. We may therefore conclude that the glories and pastimes of the Lord are not material. Otherwise, how could the liberated persons know as Atmaramas be attracted by such pastimes? So it's so you have the name, form, qualities and pastimes. Now by understanding, realizing the Lord being non-different from his name, so realizing the name of the Lord, then we understand, we realize the form, then we see the non-different between the name and the form of the Lord. Then seeing the form and the name non-different, realizing that, then the qualities we see as a part of the Lord. They are non-different. And then knowing the name, the form, the qualities, then naturally we become very interested in to see and to know what are the pastimes of the Lord. So then by realizing that, then the attraction becomes very strong. But not realizing this, then we will not see difference between Lord's name and any material name. So therefore japa is extremely important, because through japa we may realize that the non-difference between the Lord's name and the Lord himself. And again, it's conditioned through our desires. As much as we want to realize that, Krishna will give us the opportunity. But if we take it or not, then it's up to us. Yes?
In Maharaj's class, he mentioned that for a Brahman, if he just chants his japa, that could be considered perfection. Is that because the japa will bring all this scenario which you brought up?
You see, if we talk about Davi Varnashram, so then in the Varnashrama system, then if the Varnas and the Ashramas, they follow their occupational duties, they will achieve perfection. So japa is the occupational duty of a Brahmana. Now in Davi Varnashrama system, then he does the japa, but he does the japa for the Lord. So it's not for like a karmakanda, it's not for benefiting himself, but it's for the Lord. And in fact, for the Vaishnavas, the Davi Varnashram is that everybody follows the Brahminical culture. So for everybody, the duty of the Vaishnava is performance of japa. Because this is the service which you actually perform for the Lord. So, in the process of devotional service, this is the abhideya. By that, this is the process you achieve the goal, which is the Supreme Lord. So, based on your mentality, then you may perform various tasks, which fits according to your mentality. But on top of everything is that you are performing devotional service. So that's why Srila Prabhupada prescribed, minimum 16 rounds. So that guarantees that you will be meditating on the Lord, and at least while chanting your japa, then you will be thinking about the Lord. Now, your whole day should be scheduled such a way so then you
either always remember the Lord, or at least not forget the Lord. So again, Srila Prabhupada, he gave us process. So then we go for Mangalarati, then Japa, then you have Darshanarati, then you have services. Then after services, there is Prasad. Then after Prasad, then you may relax or no, whatever it may be. Then Sandhyarati, and then just go to sleep to get up for Mangalarati the next day. It's very, very simple process, but it's very powerful. So we utilize it in to get out of this material world, but that's not the main goal. Our main goal is to get attached to Krishna. So that's the purpose. So and then the Atmarama. Atmarama is a person who is self-realized. So now such a person, then he knows what is the goal of human life. And he achieved, he is detached from the material world, but at the same time he is attracted to the Lord's pastime. So he likes to hear the Lord's name, about his form, about his qualities, and about his pastimes. He doesn't want to hear some material nonsense. He wants to hear about Lord's pastimes. So from that, because these such a devotees, those who are liberated, they are not attracted by anything material, but they are attracted by Krishna's pastimes. We see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. He was completely detached from anything material, but he was very much attracted to the gopis which Krishna has pastimes with. Now, why would be that? Because somebody may argue, well, this is just a materialistic, it's just a sense gratification, and who is this Krishna? But he understands that Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. He is the supreme Lord. So any pastime, anything which Krishna performs, devotees appreciate. And according to various devotees, various mentalities, then there are various pastimes which attract them. Then you see, Srimad Bhagavatam is full of pastimes of the devotees associating with the Lord. Now definition of Dhruva Maharaj, Prahlad Maharaj, Prithu Maharaj, and they all have little different aspects, because the mentalities of those devotees are different. So then, according to that, different devotees get attracted to those more or less. So it's all based on the mentalities of the devotees. They find way how they can perform devotional service for the Lord, and they get attracted by it and they do it. So as long as it's transcendental, as long as it's connected to the Lord, then even persons who are completely liberated, they are attracted to their activity, because they know that it will benefit them, it will make them more attached to the Lord. But if such person is not liberated, then he may not know, he will not understand the transcendental pastime being transcendental and he will see no difference between transcendental and the materialistic. So for such person, that will be detrimental. That's why Prabhupada also recommends, before we read 10th canto, which is full of Krishna's pastimes, we should read all 9 cantos first. Then we understand the tattva. We understand who Krishna is. And then by understanding who is Krishna, then only we can appreciate his pastimes. So we have to first realize the name, form and qualities before we can appreciate Krishna's pastimes. So that's something which we have to be very careful of. Not try to jump or to do activities as the professional narrators of Bhagavatam do. And it's Bhagavat Sapta. So then they basically describe the 10th canto from their point of view. And that's what people are most attracted. But by that, they don't make many people very attracted to Krishna consciousness. Because people really don't understand by those narrations who Krishna is. And then,
I heard Maharaj mention that in reference to Krishna, Atmaram means that he's satisfied in himself, and the liberated persons here, they are known as Atmaramas. So does that mean that they're also satisfied in themselves, or satisfied in being connected to Krishna?
Well, you see, okay, Atmarama, then it means like one who is satisfied, means he is above dualities. But on its own, see, like Shukadeva Goswami, when he came out of the womb, then he was liberated. He had no attraction. He was naked, running in front of the girls, and then he was not agitated, they were not agitated, so there was no attraction for the material nature, not at all. But he was on the liberated platform. But he didn't know what attraction for the Lord is at that moment. So he was, in the sense, not liberated, but he was not still self-satisfied. He still was looking for something. So he was avoiding anything which would put him into the contact with material nature. But he didn't know what will pull him out. So it was his father, Vyasadev, when he chanted the verses from Bhagavatam, that actually created the attraction in the heart of Sri Krishna Goswami. Then he became devotee of the Lord. Then he became attracted to perform devotional service. Then he understood everything. So, person who are self-satisfied, they have no attraction for the material world. And they are seeking. Not that they are happy with, like the Brahmanandis, they are happy with, I don't want anything. For me, the happiness, it's lack of distress. Then one may be happy with that, that's liberation. And then, I don't want anything else. But person who is seeking true happiness, so he finds it only through devotional service. So those people, those devotees, when you describe the pastimes, when you describe the anything about Krishna, then they will be always listening. They will be always happy. The example also is of Pundarik Vidyanidhi. There was a very big landlord. And very opulent, and he had a golden throne, and he was sitting there, and there were maidservants fanning him, and very great opulence. And then once Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with one devotee called Gadadhar Das, he would go to his house, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "We are going to a house of great devotee." And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would pay respects, but that other Gadadhar Das, then he was not that elevated. So in his mind, then he was, "Who is this? Such a enjoyer. What kind of devotee is he?" But then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he understood the mind of Gadadhar Das. And then, so as he was sitting there on the throne and not enjoying, and then not just, so in his expensive clothes and everything. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just chanted one verse, from 10th canto. Immediately he fell into ecstasy. He was rolling on the ground. He was laughing and completely oblivious to what's happening around him. He was full in ecstasy. Then the devotee, seeing that, he understood. He did an offense. He offended the devotee, thinking that he is just some enjoyer. But so then he fell down and he begged forgiveness. And everything was okay. Everything was understood this way. But we cannot understand who is on which platform. So therefore, we should treat everybody as devotees. And especially in Holy Dham, even the pilgrims who come. They may be some grihastas from Calcutta or who knows what and from where. We don't have to really associate with them unless we do say some service, some book distribution or prasad distribution. But there is no need to offend them. So when we are in the crowd, we don't have to just push them or do something or tell them something. No, we can just also avoid offenses. We may not associate closely with them, but still some respect should be there because you never know. Many times happened that even the demigods, they dress up as ordinary people and they come to visit the holy places. So you never know whom you bump into. So therefore, we have to be very, very careful. Because then, if we offend somebody, even unwillingly, then it will be for our, there will be our disqualification. We will lose something. And it doesn't take much. I mean, what does it take to not offend people? Just some appreciation. Yeah.
You mentioned Shukadeva Goswami, that he developed his attachment to Krishna in the womb of his mother when he heard the Srimad Bhagavatam.
Yes.
In the case of the devotees who are already attached to Krishna, this Atmarama state came along with Bhakti, right? It was not something that was... They were already developing it when they became Atmarama.
Yeah, they are already... See, they are attractive. But there is no limit to how much attraction they can get. So they are in love with the Lord. They love performing devotional service. So any opportunity which is there, they will just go for it. See, Mother Yashoda, she is already in love with Krishna. She does everything for him, but there is no limit to how much she will do for him. She will not say, "Oh, that's enough, Krishna. No more. I'm not. Today I'm taking break. I'm really tired of you." She will never say that. So any opportunity, she can relate to Krishna as his mother. She will do. To see that he is properly taken care of, that he ate enough, that he slept enough, he took bath properly. And everything around it. I mean, the situation, she will make sure the situation is the right thing, the mood is proper, the time is proper. So, we may just, you want to invite somebody for prasad, right? So then you can, okay, come here, sit here, here is your plate, here is your khichdi, and eat. You can do it this way. That's sort of invitation also. But then, you can also do it, invite, Prabhupada, take your seat, there is asam prepared already, nice plate, nicely washed, you can put already salt, black pepper, you can put lemon on the plate, you can have some bhajans playing, you can have the atmosphere very nicely prepared, incense can be lit, so then a nice smell is there, everything is now peaceful, and you can give some water before eating, you can have many menus. The menu can be either you can put a lot of preparations or even less, but served properly. And just everything peaceful. Then after eating, then you can give some mukavas. Then after that, then if he wants to, mouth refresher. Then you want to take some rest. So just everything goes with it. It's the same thing. It's an invitation. But then you make sure the mood is correct. The situation is right. And the timings are proper. So you don't offer, say, the mukavas before eating or no. Don't ask, do you want to take some rest? No, before you eat. It's generally the other way. You understand? So that way then, knowing what's the proper etiquette, you can use it and you can create the right atmosphere, because this is what's happening in the spiritual world. So all this, the rules and the etiquette comes from Krishna. So we follow that because Krishna prefers it. It's nothing made up. But we should know how it should be done, what should be done, and that's described by the acharyas. Now, in their books, Guru explains, and in the Shastra we find it.
So the devotees who are Atmaram, which already have this, they became Atmaram because they were absorbing Krishna?
Well, you see, what makes them Atmarama is the devotional service. Because only truly satisfied the jiva can become when it performs devotional service. So by the performing devotional service, the true satisfaction comes. So attraction to Krishna, not otherwise. Just detachment from the world, so the absence of suffering, it appears like happiness. But it's temporary and it's not really happiness. You fell down and then you bang your head and you are in severe pain. So when you take a painkiller, so the pain is gone. So you feel in bliss. But it's not real bliss. You just remove the pain, but that's it.
That would be the difference between a devotee who is in Atmaram because of devotion.
Yes.
And a person who is just Atmaram.
Yes. Yeah. So the true, full satisfaction can only come when we perform devotional service. So that will be the truly liberated person. Because just Brahmavuta platform, that's when we are detached from the material objects. But this is just the stepping stone. That's just the beginning of that we can do something with it. But for somebody, this is the end. But this is not our end. That's not our goal. Our goal is beyond it. So it all depends on where you set your goal. If your goal is to get out of this material world, you may just end up there and you may not know what to do next. Because you achieved the goal, you are satisfied. But then you will not be attracted by, you know, Krishna's pastime because you are not really looking for it. But if your goal is past that, you understand this is just one little, you know, step. It's one small goal on the way to the big one. So you will be looking for how to go farther, how to go, you know, deeper into the devotional service. So you will be looking for, you know, Krishna's pastimes, descriptions, you know, and try to realize them.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Rama Hare Hare.